Hey folks, this is Ken, and before we get started, I want to let you in on some exciting news. So on Sunday, May 22nd at 12 p.m., HGTV is going to be airing the pilot episode of Flipping the South, starring my wife and myself. Again, that's on HGTV, May 22nd at 12 p.m. Set your DVRs and tune in. Thanks so much for your support.
You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Mike Fitzgerald. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Ken, how are you doing today?
I'm excited to be
on your podcast. It's a great one.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. So Mike is actually another member of the Collective Genius. He's out of Hagerstown, Maryland, and he's the owner of Gideon Properties. They actually own over 80,000 square feet in commercial space, 170 residential units, and they're doing, I guess, on pace to do over 100 deals this year. Is that right?
That's right. And we actually cut back some of our residential. Last year, we owned over 200. We've sold about 50 units, and we're strengthening our existing portfolio, then we're going to really look for some nice boutique buildings.
Man, that is awesome. You guys are rocking and rolling in Maryland, that's for sure. And so Hagerstown, give us an idea where that is in relation to like D.C. and Baltimore and all that.
It's the hub city. It's in the tri-state between West Virginia and Pennsylvania. It's about 60 miles from D.C. and Baltimore. So in an hour, 10 minutes, I can be in either city.
Okay. Are you far enough away then from D.C. where the real estate's not crazy expensive?
I am. You know, the average home in the county I do the primary amount of my business in would probably be $200,000.
Okay.
We like to do some of the upper end homes. In the next county over, which I also do a lot of business, the average home would probably be $350,000. Now in DC, in the past 18 months, we've done three homes in DC. And every single one, and actually this is how I did my first $1 million single family home, something I never realized I'd do when I started real estate.
Yeah.
I sold a home in D.C., 2215 First Street for $1.15 million, sold a home on Adams Street for $1 million, and I really like that space in D.C., but it's far enough away where it's hard to do more than one at a time. But we do, you know, consistently. There's months where we're buying 10 plus homes and selling 10 homes.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot of great things. We're in the same mastermind. CG's great. And we're really blessed.
Cool.
Actually, the 7th of this month made 12 years of business. So I've been doing real estate 36% of my life, Ken. I'm 32.
That's crazy. So you started, well, actually, take us back. Tell us, how did you even get into real estate then?
And do you want to go way back or you want to go right before real estate?
Way back, man. As far back as you want to go.
Far back as I want to go.
Post diapers, though.
I've always been motivated. You know, when I was younger, before I was even 18, I had a bunch of jobs. I had a paper route for the Herald Mail newspaper, and I sold thousands of new subscriptions. And they actually put me in the paper. And it was called the Bird Boy of Sharpsburg because I had a bird that rode around on my bike. I can send it to you. And in the article, it said this charismatic 5'1" seventh grader says what he's going to do is sell all his baseball cards, open up a pet store, then open up a chain of pet stores. From there, I worked at Britch's Great Outdoors a couple years, Cracker Barrel as a dishwasher, various waiting jobs, went in the military for 3 years, 18th Airborne Corps. When my service first ended, you know, my dad said, what you got to do is you got to work one job for 20 years, then a second one for 20 years, so you have two pensions coming in. He literally said that my first 2 years of real estate. And what happened was, ADD is part of the reason for my success and part of the reason for my jumping around, so I apologize. But to back up just a little, when my military career was – when that came to an end, I tried importing. I actually made a deal with a company in China for 1,500 little mini motorcycles.
Oh, yeah.
And then bought a sample order of 30 at the same price using credit cards. I got them in port. I sold them in a month. In a month, I sold over 30 of them. I actually rolled them through a local mall and I wrote down on a piece of paper my phone number and got kicked out of the mall twice, but I sold them all.
So you didn't actually rent a space. You were just like handing out business cards.
Exactly, exactly. In the meantime, I had talked my way into a job auditing. I was supposed to have a two-year degree for. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew I wasn't going to sit behind a desk, that I wanted to do something amazing. So, or I wanted to do something myself. So I called a rent-to-own ad newspaper right after I got done selling these pocket rockets, is what they call them. And a fellow on the other line, Dave Merch, said, "You sound like you'd make a much better real estate investor than renting to own my house." After I talked to him 10 or 15 minutes, mm-hmm. he said, "You should go to these real estate associations in Baltimore and D.C. You can learn how to buy properties no money down." I said, "You can buy properties no money down?" Now, rewinding back again, you know, we're kind of like going back to the future, fast forward, rewind. In high school, I was voted most gullible. Imagine that.
Most gullible. That's not a great superlative.
I credit that to my ability to believe in things, though.
Yeah.
So when I was told I could buy real estate no money down, and I went to these real estate associations, I believed it, and it worked. And, you know, 12 of my first 15 deals were creative. My first deal was a division of proceeds where, you know, I told the homeowner I'd give him X. I was allowed to make everything over X. It was recorded on title. And, you know, I fixed it. It was the only property I did a lot of the work to myself. And, you know, I stand behind my reputation. I stand behind my quality. But, man, do I feel bad for that homeowner. Just kidding. Just kidding. So, you know, I stained the deck and we sold it. And, you know, I kept going. And, you know, I go to the real estate association, ask people for contracts, ask them to explain it to me. And, you know, I just did it. And I think the biggest, you know, you always hear part of everything is just showing up. I think the biggest thing to be great in real estate is just doing it, taking action. I have a local real estate association that actually I started with two other guys 8 years ago. And more recently, I became the majority ownership in that. I actually say all the time, action plus action equals massive action, which is what creates results. Now, my biggest achievement in life is 7 years ago, I bought the home. My parents lost a foreclosure when I was a kid. I fixed it up and actually moved them into it. And I actually held my parents. My parents had five kids. My dad always worked multiple jobs. And I think one of my biggest motivations growing up was to be able to have money. So, you know, we moved around a lot. So I always worked and I've always been motivated. So, you know, I do, I am proud of buying my parents' home back. That's and moving cool. back in. And I've done over 500 real estate deals easily, over 1,000 transactions. And, you know, I always think, I don't know year from year what exactly where I'm going to be or what I do. I know I have a lot of dreams. And if somebody said 3 years ago, you're going to buy a 36,000 square foot office building in downtown Hagerstown, it's almost completely empty with 183 plumbing leaks down to the roof floor and people sleeping in it doing drugs, and you're going to fill it up in 18 months with the first bank to come to the downtown in 25 years, a restaurant, and it's going to be 100% full rocking building, and to have a 36,000 square foot office building, I would have never even dreamed that. I would have never imagined buying that. But when the deal came up, I just did it. And I think one of the biggest things I can teach anybody looking to do real estate is if you take action and you see an opportunity, if opportunity is right in real estate, then the money will be there. And, you know, there's been times in my career where I've had $1 million in properties I put under contract with none of the money lined up and was able to line the money up well before closing, because if the deal's right, the money's there. And also there's 100 ways to buy property creatively, no money down in real estate.
You know, that's one of the things that I think everybody in CG has learned from you and really appreciates about you is your ability to raise money and get some lines of credit through institutional means, where, you know, most of us are always talking about private money and how you go out there and raise money from individual guys, where you actually said, forget that, I'm gonna get better interest and go to some of these local banks. Talk to us a little bit about sort of your ability and your skill in raising capital from institutions.
Well, you know, what I do is I just break down the deal. You know, as a real estate investor, I don't think we're in the business of speculating. I think we're in the business of facts. If an after repair value of a property is 130 and we're buying it at 70,000, and we're 60,000 and we're saying we're going to put 20,000 in it, to go out and borrow $80,000 on a $140,000 asset, if you put that on paper and you explain it, you'll find a lot of local banks are willing to work with you and willing to lend the money. And once you start and you show you can do it and you show results, you know, results are very important. And they're not always positive, but as long as you stick with it, you pay your payments on time, I think the banks become easier to work with over time. And I have been successful in getting bank funding for a lot of my properties, and I have been successful getting credit lines. But I think a lot of it goes back to, you know, showing my experience when I go in, kind of creating a package and making it make sense. You know, if you keep it simple and it makes sense, a lot of times you get a good response.
You know, I think one of the challenges a lot of us face is when in the downturn and the banks, you know, were folding left and right, they just really tightened their credit guidelines, and most of them weren't even lending in the residential space. How are you able to go into some of these banks and get them to go outside of their box and lend to you?
Well, I go on the commercial side of the bank. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks just come in and they ask the bank for a loan and they automatically get stuck in residential. Mm-hmm. If you go to a small to medium sized bank, you know, 200 to probably 600 million, mm-hmm. and you go in and you ask for their commercial side, you know, a lot of those loans they keep in house. And if you show up front that you're not a speculator, you know, how you do real estate and show some examples and show the collateral as a property and you'll sign for it. You know, a lot of these banks will take the chance, and if you show a record and you do that multiple times, eventually, you know, you become more of a guaranteed thing, and I think it's easy to work with them and make it make sense. And of course, you know, there's different packages I do, different ways I do it, but I think ultimately taking action, going in there with, you know, examples. And a plan, I think, really goes a long way. And staying on the commercial side of the bank, and knowing to go into a bank and saying, "Can I talk to your commercial lending department?" is huge. Like I said, I think 90% of investors, or 95% of investors that don't know any better, go into the bank and they're talking to a residential lender but just has no idea.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And for you, you started off doing like one house at a time, and then eventually did that graduate into lines of credit? What did that look like? What was that process?
Yeah, so my first year in real estate, I only did probably a half dozen deals. My next year, I did 12 to 15. My next year, I did 20 to 28. My next year, I did over 30, and it was kind of like a gradual progression. I mean, I can't believe 12 years that went by. And in my first 4 years, banks wouldn't even talk to me. I'd walk in the bank, and it's funny, you know, a local bank president that wasn't a bank president at the time, he was at another bank in a commercial lending department. He said he remembers me coming in, and I looked like I was 15 years old asking for a loan. And he said to himself, he's either going to be real successful or dead broke one day. And of course, I didn't get the loan. Now the same banker, but it's now a bank president, is giving me a $1 million loan on my new commercial building. The professional arts building.
Awesome. How much do you have out there in lines of credit right now from institutions?
Over 2 million.
2 million. And so think of how many houses that is that you're churning. I mean, the majority of the houses that you guys are buying and selling, are those through these institutional lines of credit, or are they private?
We're loyal to private money guys that have been with me from the beginning before banks would work with me. So we still tie up anywhere from 3 to 7 million in 10 to 12% money, but then we also tie up for $2 million line money because it's at 4%. And of course, we really like that money.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I always tell a bank is I say, look, if I were a 7-Eleven, a convenience store, or a gas station, I'd have 100 products, and those products may cost me $50,000 to $100,000. But I'm not. I'm a real estate investor. And 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5, 6, or 7 products, which are houses, can cost $1 million. And I have private investors out there. I can borrow from them. I don't necessarily need the money, but I could make a lot more sense with the money, and I'd be willing to tie up this product. So if I say I tied up the line for $800,000, then the real estate on the line would probably be worth $1.2 million. And oh, by the way, I have these investment packages would show you the comps, show you the home, show you what my repairs look like, show you what I'm going to do, and I can submit them on every loan. And if you like, of course, you can have an appraisal, and we can just attach the houses to the line as additional collateral. And it would allow me to buy and sell houses and at a lower interest rate. Now, do I need the money? No, I have plenty of private money. But could I use the money? It would make sense. And I really leave it up to them.
Yeah, gotcha. So, Mike, tell us about the commercial building you did. You mentioned you have 80,000 square feet in commercial space. I know a big
My first commercial building was over 36,000 square feet. It's called the Grand Piano Building in Hagerstown.
Cool.
It was the Grand Piano Furniture Company, then it was Everly's Department Store, which actually became one of the first Bon-Tons.
Okay.
It was converted into office space in the 90s. By 2013, it had 183 plumbing leaks, roof leaks down to the first floor, the last two tenants leaving, and the building was like a real mess, you know. And I short sailed it. There was a mortgage on it for $1.7 million. I got it for $660,000.
Oh, my gosh. Holy cow.
And it seems like a good deal, but you're in a downtown. And, you know, I believe downtown Hagerstown's great right now. But you're in a downtown with a lot of office space. And when I bought it, I had other developers call me up and say, you know, there's no way you're going to make this work. It'll take you 10 years to fill, and you'll cannibalize other tenant spaces if you do make it work. You know, why would you do this deal? Well, after 18 months, I was 100% full. I brought the first bank to downtown Hagerstown in 20 years. I brought a restaurant that made over $500,000 investment into the building. And I had the building as a positive asset. Now, I even had a private-public partnership. The city gave me $164,000. But overall, we invested over $900,000 into the property. We had some of that paid from the rent. Some of it paid from the city, then it was easy to get a loan. Of course, the appraisal on it went way up when it's full. We have an active ballroom. We have over 80 employees in the building, a writing department for the local School for the Arts, which is a great school, Barbara Ingram, and it's a hugely successful project. So what do? I get a chance. I buy a bigger building that used to be on postcards of Hagerstown, and of course, everybody says you can't make it happen again, but I went out in the front of a newspaper. I said, hey, I'm going to make Hagerstown great again. I'm going to have this building full in 12 months. So I gave myself a challenge. We'll see if I can do it.
That's crazy.
Actually, I will do it. So there's no saying it's going to happen.
So just again, so you bought this Grand Piano building for $660,000. How much did you have to put into repairs?
About $975,000.
Another $975,000. And then what's it appraising for now?
$2.3 million.
Crazy. And are you just holding it and collecting rents, or was your plan to flip it and sell it? What's your plans on that?
You know, Ken, I don't want to sell it. My problem is I love properties, and I love pretty properties, and I love boutique properties. And, you know, my rents are going up 2-3% a year. Mm-hmm. It's 100% full. Downtown Hagerstown, I think, is, you know, at one time we had Warner Brothers owned the Maryland Theater downtown. The downtown was amazing. It was called the Hub City. And then, of course, when downtowns died, this downtown died, everybody left. But, you know, now you got a University of Maryland system at its max of over 500 students, Cambridge University, which bought Potomac Hall, putting 30 international Chinese foreign exchange students to go to the private school in the county, a new $28 million library, 9 restaurants in the core. I say, why not downtown Hagerstown?
Yeah, so, you're a big part of that process.
I'm taking that drive, and I'm trying to do it again. I'm asking city council for another grant. And, you know, I bought a bigger building, a building that had a record of being full for over 50 years, a building that's also on its knees with all the tenants leaving. And this weekend, you're going to find this hilarious. I had 10 workers redoing the roof because the roof had leaked 6 or 7 years. I've never done this before. I grabbed one of the blow torches and started torching some of the roof myself, putting the rubber down. And then just to do it. And then before that, it's actually a crazy process. We put a lift behind the building, and there was a 6-foot cavity under the sidewalk, and it collapsed in the sidewalk. So it's kind of like a, you know, it's fun. It's exciting. It's a lot of work. It takes focus, but, you know, I like the bigger commercial projects, and, you know, I think half of everything and more than half of everything is energy and, you know, the belief to make it happen. And I think I can do it again.
You know, talk for just a second about how you leased up that Grand Piano building, because I think it's a hilarious story.
Okay. So I went in businesses. And I went to other counties and other states, and I walked in businesses, and I said, hey, my name's Mike Fitzgerald. Have you ever thought about opening up a second location? Let me tell you about downtown Hagerstown and a great building. It's the rent's low, you know, there's city incentives, you know, why not downtown Hagerstown? It's a great place for a second business. And what I found is pretty much every business wants to grow and open up a second location one day. And there's a handful out of every 10 I go into that are willing to come to downtown Hagerstown and look at the space. And that allowed me to fill up the building.
You know, that's what I call taking initiative. I mean, you're not just a developer putting this big deal together. You are boots on the ground, literally knocking on doors, finding tenants to fill your property, and it paid off. You got the sucker 100% occupied 18 months later.
And here's the thing. A big developer wouldn't do it. You know, a big construction company to go down here and do this building would have been twice as much for the renovation. You know, we ran the renovations ourselves, which kept the cost down. And a big developer, you know, I started out in a one-bedroom apartment. My desk was in front of my bed in Oak Ridge Apartments. Literally, my desk was only 5 feet from my bed. I did my first 17 real estate deals from my desk in my one-bedroom apartment. So, you know, I'm not afraid to, you know, really break down barriers. And I had an idea. I ran with it. And quite frankly, it would have been devastating if I didn't make the building work. But in the end, I got 3 front page newspaper articles, a magazine article or two, and I made the building great.
Talk about
– And I did some cool stuff.
It's energy plus initiative, man, when it comes to you. You're a high energy dude, but you take the initiative to get things done. And I
hey,
think that's a big
action
part of your
success. Plus action equals massive action. Massive action equals massive results.
I like it. Hey, so this new building that you just bought – break it down a little bit for our audience about how you put it together. How is the financing structured?
This is beautiful. This is beautiful. It's one of the two best examples of an Art Deco building in all of Maryland other than Baltimore. Mm-hmm. It's called the Professional Arts Building. It's grand. It's great. And I learned so much from the grand I can use in this building. So another building, it was a short sale. You know, the bank had contacted me through an agent. And I had said, look, you know, and hopefully nobody's listening because I can still buy buildings in downtown Hagerstown. But I said, look, you know, I'd love to make the building make sense. If I can't make it make sense, I there's going to be somebody else out there to buy it. You know, there's not a lot of people buying in downtown Hagerstown, but I'm sure you'll find someone. And I went through and, I didn't press the deal, but I said, here's what I can do. They put it on the market. I got a contract on it the first day. By the end, there was multiple backup offers, and after I closed on it, I actually got offered a little more than I paid for it. I decided not to sell it and decided I could make it happen again. And a lot of the local big developers that have the glass and steel buildings, you know, friends of mine, you know, don't think I can make it happen twice. So when someone thinks I can't do something, that's some of my biggest motivation.
It's a challenge. How did you finance it? How did you structure your financing on this deal?
Okay, so I went to a private investor, took it out, bought it for $645,000, borrowed $700,000 from a private investor at 12%, went to a bank and said, look, the final loan on this building is going to be $1.2 million, $1.3 million, but I don't want you guys to have headaches giving me construction draws. I don't want you to have headaches. So I think I'm just going to borrow a minor amount on the building and bring private money to the table and ask them to borrow $800,000 up front. I should have the loan through. I've owned it 3 months. I should have the loan through soon. Then a private investor is going to loan me the rest of the money to fix it up at 12%. So I'll have $800,000 at 4%. And then I'll borrow the money in stages for the remaining $300 or $400 at 12%. At the same time, the building will be filling up. Once it's done and about 85% occupied, I'll refinance the project.
Gotcha. And then same thing, just hold it. Are you going to do the same thing and go out of town and knock on some doors and try to fill it up? Or you think you're going to have an easier time leasing it this go around?
Well, here's the thing. I don't because it's still a little tough. But what we're doing this time is we made a list of hundreds of businesses, and I'm going to spend a couple hours twice a week just calling those businesses and offering to give them tours of downtown Hagerstown.
Oh, nice.
So I'm trying to revolutionize my system here.
Yeah.
It's about scaling it. We heard that word a lot at the last mastermind.
Sure, yeah. Everybody's about scaling. So you're doing all these buildings, and at the same time, you're still knocking down 100 – residential deals a year.
Hey, you know, we have good people. I've brought in an all-star integrator that's really you know, been great, and he's with me running everything. And we've brought, you know, a great GM in, a CFO with her master's. And, you know, it's not easy, and it does take a lot of time, but through systems and focus down to rehab systems we've developed, you know, we're able to do everything. We have probably right now 15 active renovations, a dozen homes on the market, 4 to 7 wholesales, and the 40,000 square foot building. And I just partnered up with a big developer on an 11 unit high end condo project where the two penthouses sell for $850,000 a piece.
So you just added one more thing to the list of things you're working on.
You know, I need something to do in my spare time.
And all that spare time you get, right? Unbelievable.
I'm kidding.
Mike.
You know, I'm a proud father. I'm a single dad of a 3.5-year-old son. You know, hopefully I find a rock star, motivated, energetic, good, smart person one day. But until then, I'm a single dad. And, you know, he's great. I have him half the time. And other than that, I spend a lot of my time working, growing, and I am starting to look at quality of life, and I'm trying to get, you know, the right people in. So, you know, definitely I can, you know, take that approach as well. But right. I enjoy definitely what I do, and I have a lot of motivation. You know, I definitely want to do great things. You know, and real estate's enabled me to do so many cool things. I called my stager up 2 weeks ago, and we took her Sprinter van up, and we got my grandmother a new Ashley Signature couch. Her couch was 30 years old, and went to her house, surprised her, took her old couch, put her new couch in. You know, like I said, I'm able to help my parents out with my child at home. I do a lot with Habitat, Girls Inc., the Money Mamas obstacle course, over 3,500 girls. We build and donate the biggest obstacles every year for the past couple of years. So, you know, I try to do a lot on all fronts.
Yeah.
I'm not one to sit still. And besides that, I have ADD. It's funny. If if I didn't have ADD, I'd come to my office and I'd sit down, Ken. And I'd say to myself, man, I have too much to do. How am I going to get it all done? But being that I have ADD, I come to my office. I'm like, man, this was easy. I need more to do. I'm kidding. It's funny. In school, the class would always start. I only had like a 2.4 GPA. I never went to college. The class would always start at, say, like 1 o'clock. From 1 o'clock to 1:05, I'd say in my head 100 times, I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to pay attention. At 2 o'clock, the bell would ring to go to the next class, and I couldn't remember when I started daydreaming. So I consider myself a dreamer, and you know, I couldn't be where I am without other people. And you know, every day is a learning process. We certainly had our challenges over the years, and we feel blessed we're able to be doing what we do and move forward the way we are.
You know, you've done a lot of deals. You've done some big ones. You've done some little bit of everything in between. Is there one deal in particular that stands out as your best deal ever?
My very first $1 million deal. I was in my one bedroom apartment, and true story, a farmer called me up and wanted to sell me his farm for $700,000. Now, most guys that barely had, you know, been doing real estate a year, maybe I had like 47,000 in the bank at the time. Somebody calls them up and says, hey, you want to buy his deal for $700,000? Most of these guys aren't calling him back, but me, I called him back and I looked at it and I said, look, I'd love to make this work. You know, I don't think it can work all cash, but you know, if I could meet your needs, get you the money, make it smooth, pay your living expenses, is that something that would make sense for you? So I made an agreement to give the guy $1,300 a month until I subdivided his property, essentially paying his expenses. We made a deal where I could subdivide any or all of the property, sell any or all of the subdivision towards my purchase price, and the rest would move in a 5% mortgage held by the farmer. Sorry, I get so excited when I tell these, like when I think about the past. I haven't told this story in years. So it's one of my, it's an amazing deal. So I subdivided the farm, and I thought it would take me 4 or 5 months. I'm optimistic. It took me 15 months. The county denied me, and I beat them at appeals board because they denied me for no reason. In the end, I had more money in the deal than I started out with in the bank. and like 80,000 in the deal.
Oh my god.
The attorney, because of how we structured it with timber and everything else, I had to explain the agreement multiple times just to get it to get it closed. I had an attorney write it up, but it was a bit complicated, but easy for me. so we put the deal together. I love deals. I'm a deal maker. And I sold one of the lots after 17 months. The rest moved in a 5% mortgage, which was a good rate at the time, held by the farmer. The lots and the remaining property appraised with $1.1 million in equity.
Wow.
And I'm in a one-bedroom apartment. I end up moving into this two-bedroom farmhouse. After a year, because there were some chickens there when I moved in, I didn't even know were there. I started taking care of. They started dying of old age. I hear about the livestock auction. Next thing you know, every animal that goes through at a deal, of course, I buy down to a three-legged goat. And I have chickens, ducks, goats, miniature pigs, peacocks, guineas, turkeys, ducks. Built 700 feet of fencing. And I lived at the farmhouse a decade. I just moved out 4 months ago. 5 months ago, I had all 7 Washington County Boys and Girls Clubs multiple times, had a cater, gave them hay rides, small little house in the country with 23 acres. But in the end, I also learned my biggest lesson in real estate. I could have sold everything at one time. I could have sold the farmhouse, all 3 lots. I got offered $750 for the lots. I got offered $400 for the farmhouse, and I didn't sell because I said, hey, they were selling at $300. The market may be slowing down, but it's not going to drop. Remember, I started in the middle of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
This was like 7 or 8 months after I started, and this took a year and a half. We're up to right about the time of the financial drop.
Yep.
So I decide not to sell anything. The market drops. I lose 60% of my equity. Still did well, and it actually paid for a lot of my initial learning lessons, gave my reputation. When the market dropped, I took $100,000 in losses, paid the investors before closing their full interest, didn't ask any favors, which strengthened my reputation. This house made it possible. I pulled the money out of the house. I still own the house today. It's rented out. And that would have to be my most interesting, life-changing, game-changing, crazy deal I've ever done in real estate. And the craziest thing is, for years, Ken, people told me when I was 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, I had a baby face. People thought I was like 16, 18. You know, I got I got up till a year ago, I still got carded for alcohol. Oh my God. Now I'm 32 and real estate's caught up with me, I guess.
Yeah, the ripe old age of 32. You've accomplished a lot for a 32-year-old.
But I did this from a one-bedroom apartment. I did my first $1 million deal only. It was actually 13 months in real estate. So 13 months in real estate would have put us at about the about 06 or right before 06, like sometime in the third quarter. And in 18 months doing a deal put us between 07 and 08. And that's where I've learned my two biggest lessons in life. Always take a chance. Always think of a deal that's going to work if it makes sense. And don't think about it too hard. Just do it if it makes sense. And the second thing is a bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush.
Yeah.
Although I loved living on the farm for 10 years,
yeah,
I could have walked away with $1 million.
Yeah,
I had some hard years, you know, with growing pains and learning. And, you know, I've never been late on a bank payment. I've always been on point. But I've had over $1 million in education, never going to college.
Yeah, I can't
and
agree with
nobody's
you
ever felt it.
I mean, you are so right about, especially in real estate, when things change so quickly that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I'm a big proponent of get in and get out while the getting's good. Make your money, don't get greedy. That's a great lesson. Mike,
you're exactly right.
Super, super intriguing interview. Hey, if folks want to check you out, where should we point them to?
Well, I know this is crazy, and I probably shouldn't do this. Eventually, because everybody's been asking me, I'm going to put stuff in writing and have a website. But until then, people can contact me at mike@gideonprop.com, mike@gideonprop.com, and or mike@webuyanysituation.com. And remember, if you refer me a good piece of real estate I close on, I give at least $1,000 referral fee.
Awesome. And if there's some private money lenders out there that might be interested in getting in contact with you, or anybody that's in the Maryland area that maybe wants to learn a little something, maybe JV with you, Again, it's mike@gideonprop.com. We'll be sure to put that in the show notes. Mike, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. It's great talking to you today.
You as well. Take care, buddy.
Take care. Bye.
Hey folks, this is Ken again, just reminding you to check out the premiere of the pilot episode Flipping the South on HGTV, premiering Sunday, May 22nd at 12 p.m. Again, based on the success of the pilot, the number of people that watch it and DVR it, HGTV will decide whether or not to pick it up and make it a series, so we would love your support. Again, Sunday, May 22nd at noon, if you would record and watch Flipping the South on HGTV. Thanks so much for your support.